You're listening to the How to Make Money Podcasting Podcast. I'm your host and explorer, Jace Kraft, and I invite you to join me while I explore behind the scenes of a podcaster monetizing their podcast and learn how you can too. Whether you haven't made a dollar from your podcast or you're making thousands of dollars, this episode you are listening to right now will help you explore what's possible for your podcast.
Hey everybody, today I'm sitting down with the co-host of the Voice Over Social and voice artist, Leah Marks. The Voice Over Social started in 2015 and is consistently reviewed as not boring. Leah Marks and Nick Redmond mash together interviews, investigation, and problem solving in this cheerful show for voiceover types. There's a new episode, the first of every month, and you can find out more from them at www.thevosocial.com. Leah, it's great to have you on the show.
It's lovely to be here. Thanks very much.
So obviously the name of your podcast, the Voiceover Show Social, kind of, you know, entails who it's for. But let's go back to the beginning, 2015. In the pre-talk here, you mentioned that it kind of started by accident, or it was a podcast before you knew it was a podcast. Like, that's talk right. to us how you got started podcasting.
Okay, so me and my co-host Nick, we're both voiceovers, among other things. And when we were living down in the south of England, we used to go to a little voiceover meetup group in a pub. Mm-hmm. It was in the sort of dark underground pub in the depths of Soho. And it was lovely, just other voiceovers all understanding each other's problems and like dreams and hopes, and drinking together and having a nice chat. And then we both happened to move up north around the same time, and we thought we'd replicate that for the north of England, where everything was a bit more disparate. London, everything is everywhere. It's all in one place, kind of, it's all clumped together. But up in the north is like a range of cities across the north of England that weren't really connecting and didn't really have any kind of networking events of any kind. So we thought we'll do that exact same thing. We'll set up a meetup in a pub, and we figured just sort of if we build it, they will come. I heard recently that's not actually the line from the film, but I don't care. That's the line I'm using. And so we did. We started, we called around, we found out who all the voiceovers were across the north of England, and we invited them all to the pub and started running that every couple of months. And one of the ways we were getting people to come to the pub was recording 2 minutes of us ranting about how everyone should meet us at the pub and putting it up on SoundCloud. And so we did that for a while, and people were listening and people were showing up, and it was fine. It was nice. And then we started doing kind of vox pops at the events and asking people about their maybe the biggest job they'd ever done or the most ludicrous voiceover job they'd ever done. That was a fun one. And putting that into the little SoundCloud upload. And then we started thinking, well, maybe we could actually bring something a bit more to this. Maybe we could do like interviews perhaps and talk to people that would be interesting to voiceovers in some way. And then I was like, oh my God, it's a podcast. Wow, how has this happened? So we did. We had, that's why it's called the Voiceover Socialist, because that's what it was born from, was this need to connect with other people who are working in the industry, not necessarily just voiceovers actually, but people who work within the audio industry that connect with voiceovers in some way. So whether it's engineers or producers or agents or people like that.
So how long was it from your meetups to your realization that, you know, this is a podcast?
It was more than a year, maybe even more than 2 years. It was a real slow grower, I think. And actually there were three I think there were three clear sections to our podcast. The first like era of the Voiceover Social was just up on SoundCloud, come to the pub. The second era was interviewing we don't really interview other people who do the job we do. We interview people that are just sort of within the industry to help the people that do the thing that we do understand better the people that don't do the thing that we do that they are connected to. That was a long sentence. And then the third era was, there was this tipping point where it was episode 27, in fact, and we decided we were going to go and interview a guy who is called Philip Banks, and he's a promo voiceover for one of the big American networks. I forget which one, but you'll have heard his voice. It's like deep and gravelly, coming up next and all that sort of thing. And he lives in this little tiny village in the outskirts of Scotland, like right up on the far north of Scotland, on a seaside village. And we thought, we'll go and meet up with him and talk to him. So we flew up there. This is tremendous. It was just before the pandemic, in fact. And so we flew up there and we made this whole kind of audio diary of our trip. So we're waking up really early in the morning. Mm. We went to go and find some local people that speak a very strong version of the Scottish dialect Doric, and recorded them, and we recorded ourselves down at the seaside. And the point of it being that we sort of escalated things to the point where it's now way out of control, and every single episode from then is like built around a concept or a campaign, or it's much more produced than it ever was. We're no longer ever going to touch the idea of it being a podcast where we just interview a person and then thanks for listening, please rate and subscribe and review. Like this it's gone beyond that. We can never go back to that anymore. Like we've created this monster. Anyway, it's working out okay as podcasts go, and I enjoy making it a lot, but it's way beyond the what I thought of as a podcast when I first started.
So were you monetized up to that point?
We had brought in sponsors before then. Yes. Yeah. So the way we have decided to do this is through sponsorship. So me and Nick we thought very hard about all the different ways that we could possibly make money out of the podcast, and although Patreon absolutely works for some people, completely works, I wanted to, it's one big episode a month and a little bonus episode in the middle of the month. I wanted to be putting everything into those episodes and not having to be making extra content that would be interesting to our listeners, that would be beyond a paywall. Like, that just didn't sit right with me, but I think that it does work for other people, especially like medians and people like that. So there's that. And then I saw what was happening with like Anchor sponsorships, where you can just kind of stick a sponsor, stick a little ad on the beginning or the middle of your podcast if it's on Anchor, or there are other ways of. I guess I should at some point say that I've made an episode called How to Get a Sponsor for Your Podcast Without Selling Your Soul. So that is available on the website I go into a little bit more detail there about all the different ways of finding a sponsor through those middlemen, through those other websites where they connect you up with brands. But I didn't like that either, because I'm a complete control freak, and the idea that somebody would come along and say, okay, yeah, well, here's a brand for you. You can choose this one. And then you have to read the script. You have to read the script exactly like this. And as a voiceover, obviously I do that all the time. That's how I do things. I just do things the way the client wants, and that's okay. But for this podcast is mine, and I want to make sure that I am not just selling any old tat to my beloved listeners. And so I had to kind of make some decisions about how to make that work. So should I tell you how we did it?
Yeah. Before I do have a comment, just we'll link to your episode about, you know, how you did this in the show notes. But if you're listening, here's a little bit a nudge to go listen to it, because I have listened to it, and the creativity that they put into the whole story of the sponsors and the ads, and they go through it. And obviously being a voiceover, you know, artists and actors or actresses, you know, there's a little bit extra pizzazz you can put on it than maybe, you know, somebody like me could. But it opens your eyes to, like, hey, what could we do to stand out to a sponsor? So go listen to that. Now she's going to tell us how she did it.
Okay, great. So this is how we did it. I looked at the companies that were already sponsoring in my space. So whether that was other podcasts that were other people that were making podcasts for voiceovers, or whether that was voiceover conferences. And I looked through all those different brands, and I looked at which ones I either used or could really, like, truthfully sell and say to my listeners, this is a good thing. This is a good thing, buy this thing. And then when the biggest voiceover conference in the UK started building up to, like, they were selling tickets already and it was coming up. I got in touch with, we were already the official podcaster at that conference. And that meant that we had a really clear way in to the sponsors that were already working with the conference. Mm. And so I picked out the few that I wanted, the two or three that I thought they would be a good fit for us. And I offered them a massive discount on a ad space in the episode that we were making for that conference. What I originally did was I offered the conference organizers the ad space and said, you pay for it and give that as a bit of extra added value to the sponsors at your conference. But he wasn't into that. So instead, I went directly to the sponsors themselves and said, this is what we can offer. These are the number of listeners you can reach. We're doing a mad discount for this one time only. You can put a sponsor ad. You can put an ad in our podcast episode.
So at that point, how many listeners, were you expecting per episode?
300 or 400.
Okay.
And we'd had up until that point about 10,000 total listens.
Okay. So you were going to put them on that one episode to, kind of highlight the conference. And you said you offered a massive discount. How'd you come up with that number? What you were going to offer and then the discount?
We do, it's £150. I don't know what that is in dollars. £150 per episode for a sponsor. Okay. And then we offer package deals for 3 and 6 months. We also actually recently did a 12-month arrangement. But the deal with that was that they would also get to be the exclusive sponsor for each bonus episode. And that meant that we had to definitely make a bonus episode. So I don't think I'll be doing that again. but so for the discount for the conference people, we said we'd do it for 50 quid. It was a third of the normal price. And we had about two or three sponsors say yes. And the idea with this was that once you have made that initial connection with a sponsor and showed them like what you can offer and the sort of return that they'll be able to see, then that is then an open door to walk through and say, let's do something a bit more long term.
Yeah. Awesome. So how did you track that then for them? Like, how did you make sure that they saw a return and you could go back to them and say, hey, this is what we did for you. Here's what you got.
Now, that's a very interesting question, because doing it this way and offering, it's called a flat rate, apparently, for the space in the episode is different to how most sponsorship arrangements will be set up if you go through the sort of middleman websites, the popcorn or whatever it's podcorn and all that sort of thing. Because they will either do like affiliate links, or they'll give you a code, a discount code, which their people have to use, or in order for you to be paid a percentage of what those customers are spending. Or there's another way, but I've forgotten what it is. But that is, I mean, you just have to have more listeners than I will ever have to make that work. It's got to be thousands and thousands and thousands. And I make a podcast for a niche audience. It's got a finite number of people that would ever be interested in listening to it. It's not like all the people that might one day want to have a baby, or all the people that might one day decide to buy a hat. It's people who are already working in the voiceover industry. And maybe one day we'll branch out and be for people that use their voices for work in a bit more of a broad sense. But at the moment, that's what it is. And so that sort of, I don't know, 20p here and 20p there doesn't work for me at all. So one of the ways we've done it for sponsors is they've given us a discount code to give to our listeners. And so they'll be able to see how many people are taking it up, but our actual payment is not connected to that in any way. It pays the money, the discount code, the people use the discount code. And if they want to renew the sponsorship arrangement, like if they want another 3 months or another 6 months, then that will maybe depend on how many people will actually pick up and use the discount code. Then there's another thing, which is did you play the one of the Witch and Cat episodes? So the Source Elements partnership that we have going on there, that is much more about, at the moment anyway, it's much more about brand not awareness, because everyone knows who Source Elements are, who work in the voiceover industry, but how people feel about that brand, because we're the biggest voiceover podcast in the UK, and we have a really lovely relationship with our listeners, and because we're small enough to be able to engage with them consistently. So if people send us an email, we're not like outsourcing it to a virtual assistant to respond. Like, we're responding, or if people are tweeting us, we're tweeting back, and we're able to do that because we're like around sort of between 500 and 900 listens per episode. If we go much further than that, then maybe it'd be more difficult. So for Source Elements, it's much more been about like us saying, hey, our many hundreds of friends, we like this thing. You should also like this thing. Why don't you like this thing too? We all really like it. I think so. I don't know. There's definitely an advertising marketing term for that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're borrowing trust.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Credibility and before we get too far, if somebody is in the United States and like, what's 150 pounds? It's $207.
Oh, well done.
For the United States, so glad to look that up. Okay. So you started monetizing through sponsorships. Now that you have more listeners, is your 150 pounds per episode, has that gone up?
No, not yet. I think because the difference between 300 to 400 and 500 to 900 listeners, I don't really think that's significant enough to adjust the price. And also that was that we came at that figure, not because that's any kind of industry standard, but just because that was what I was happy to accept. You know, I thought
yeah, that's a good point.
That I'm putting into this, like, how much money do I deserve for that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do me. And that's not changed really.
You made a good point there where it's like, this is what I would accept versus this is like what somebody is going to give me. Because I see, like in my own opinion, like I could go through, like you said, Podcorn or Anchor or, you know, all these weird sites that would just put an ad on my show.
They do serve a purpose. They totally do serve a purpose. If you've got the figures, if you've got the numbers, then 100%. They can actually work for you.
Yeah. But then it comes at a cost to like your overall audience, right? Because, you know, an ad is not the same as a show, even if you do it in a witch and cat, you know, voiceover comedy sketch. It's not the same as the show. So you're kind of suffering your the quality of your show a little bit. So like, is that worth taking maybe, you know, $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 from, you know, an episode? To me, no, I have a figure in my mind that like, this is the bottom that I'm going to, if I sell a sponsor, like it's going to have to be worth this to me, because it's worth that to give up a little bit of the quality of my show.
And also, so the way I see sponsorship partnering is I just think it's like dating. I just think that's what it's like. So you're finding somebody that you think has value in some lovely way that you want to just share with the world, and that you think you can work with, most importantly. So when it comes to like, companies are still people, they're still made up of people, and how those people operate has a big impact for me on whether I want to work with them. So the sponsors that we have 100%. Are really they're communicative and responsive and up for being a bit creative, and they're appreciative of me and what I do. And I think that is really important, and that transfers to the money question as well, because 150 quid per episode is what I'm happy with. But if they weren't happy with that, if they didn't think they were getting value for money, then that wouldn't work as a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So true there. So I want to just jump back a little bit where you were searching for sponsors, because I know that's another place where I see people get stuck, including myself sometimes, is like, who would you, I mean, it's overwhelming the amount of businesses out there, you know? So if you're like, I know you said you went to podcasts, conferences, and saw that, but could you just dive in a little bit deeper of your process for the search for a sponsor?
So apart from looking at who was already working in the space, we were also looking at people that were providing, companies that were providing services or products to voiceovers. And so when, as an example, there's a product called Vocal Mist, which is used predominantly by singers, but they're interested in, at the moment, sort of breaking into the voiceover world. And it's sort of an inhaler, a nebulizer, they call it, for hydrating your vocal folds. This is not an advert. I'm just saying that this exists. Yeah. And when we became aware of them, and Nick actually was in contact with them first, we thought, well, actually, that is something that our listeners would really like to hear about. And as it happens, they were also interested in reaching our listeners. And so we were able to make that connection with them and turn that into a 3-month arrangement, which is just so continent.
How do you like start that conversation? What, I mean, email, I would assume.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? With that one, I think, because Nick started it off, because I think she was in contact with them over by Instagram. She's very Instagrammy. I'm
Instagrammy.
Not
that's a good word.
I don't understand it. Stories apparently are a thing. I can't understand how to re-watch them, make them, link to them. I don't. It's all completely beyond me, Instagram. But she's very good at it, so I think that's how. She followed me on Instagram, sent her a message on Instagram. But it really, like, this is the thing. It varies from company to company. So for the ones that I've contacted, first of all, I generally tend to pick up the phone before anything else, because for a start, everyone's really scared of talking on the phone these days. So for somebody to call, like actually phone you, like that's going to be quite that's going to draw attention to you as an individual in itself. But then also, it's just a way of working out very quickly who the right person is to be emailing. So rather than just emailing the info@ email address and just hoping somebody somewhere forwards it on, actually calling up, and even if you're just talking to someone on reception, they can help you. So you're not wasting anyone's time, essentially.
Sure. Like, so if you're getting a reception, asking them who would be, you know, head of advertising, or who you need to contact, if they might be interested in something.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing about this is that you have to be prepared for most people just to be like, no, don't care, put the phone down. Like, they don't care. They've got a business to run. You're just somebody basically coming in going, you don't know who I am, but like, would you want to give me some money? And they're going to say no. They're just going to say no. And that's how it is. And I've had that so much. I've been phone bashing and sending out emails, and people just haven't been interested. Because I've been quite specific about who I want to partner with, I've maybe had slightly less just outright rejections or people ignoring me. People have tended to explain why, because they sort of maybe know who I am or what it is I'm doing a little bit. Sure. Who knows why they've been nice, but they have been nice. And what you do have to remember is that most people aren't. And in fact, there was one incident where, so I had this idea, and this is a free idea, okay? And I mentioned it in my How to Get a Podcast Sponsor Without Selling Your Soul episode, but this is for anybody who perhaps is making a podcast for entrepreneurs. I wanted water bottles. I wanted water bottles with the logo on, and I just didn't want to pay money for them, because at that point, when I first came up with this idea, we weren't making any money from the podcast. I just wanted water bottles. It was kind of maybe a way of making a bit of cash by selling the water bottles, but also it was just something that would help spread the word and improve our connection with our audience and all that sort of thing. And so I thought, in the run-up to Christmas, people like to send out little gifts to clients, to clients, to say thanks very much for a lovely year, here's to another lovely year, here is a pencil sharpener with my logo on it, or whatever it may be, a USB stick. And so I thought that what a lovely thing to do would be to connect the really big branding companies, the ones that have access to factories in China full of USB sticks, and can do them at cost price. I thought if I said to them, you can have space in my podcast in return for water bottles, that would be a great deal for everybody, because they would be getting these cost price water bottles. Like, I was thinking like the double walled aluminium fancy ones, you know, not some sort of flimsy plastic rubbish. And then they would also be able to reach our entrepreneurs, because voiceovers are entrepreneurs, they're all running their own businesses, etc. And they would be able to offer a discount code to all the people that listen to my podcast, and then all the people that listen to my podcast would use that discount code to buy their clients little Christmas niceness. And nobody cared. Nobody cared. I must have spent 2 weeks phoning and calling back and calling back and calling back. And eventually I realized that I was small fry. totally too small for them to be even remotely interested in what I had to say. However, if there was perhaps a sort of conglomerate of entrepreneur podcasts that all got together and approached branding companies saying, between us, we've got 20,000 listeners per month, and we can offer you space in all of these podcasts and all these different podcasts in return for, I don't know, money, I suppose, then I think that would work. I don't want to spend another second of my life on it, because I will never get back those 2 weeks now. But if somebody else thinks they can make it work, I think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal for everybody.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea. And I definitely like the idea of helping, you know, selling an ad spot for promoting you through water bottles and physical stuff. That's something that I've actually been thinking about too, is like physical products, like people talk about them, I feel, and that, you know, carry them around, and they ask, oh, how do you like the voiceover social, what's that, you know?
Exactly.
You know, if you have your images and that kind of stuff on that. So
as it turns out, so since this is a podcast about making money, we eventually did spend the money on the water bottles. We've got like 100 really like luxury double walled aluminium or steel insulated water bottles with our logo on. I love them. We've sold maybe 5, because water bottles are just expensive. They're just expensive anyway. So we're selling them like, we're not making any money out of any ones that we sell. We're just making the money back. We sold 5, but what we're able to do is give them away as prizes. So we run loads of competitions, because they're a bunch of show-offs. We've got 500 show-offs that listen to our podcast, and so we're running one coming up soon, which is all about getting your commercial demo together, which is like a collection of TV or radio spots, or like that are specially made for the demo, and so we're doing like a whole workshop, like commercial reads and people competing against each other. And so we're going to be giving away like a bunch of water bottles. Then it's so nice to be able to do that, because otherwise what have we got? We had stickers for a bit, but that's not that exciting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually listened to your latest episode before coming on, and so I heard about the competition, and that's an awesome way to get your listeners involved with your brand and your podcast, and make them loyal listeners as well. When did that start? Like, whose idea was it to put a competition together?
Oh, the competition. Well, yeah. I think we are making a live episode, this live episode about commercial demos online, obviously, and we knew from running another live episode that people were prepared to pay for tickets as long as they felt that they were going to actually be able to interact and get the opportunity to either show off or just have a go, you know. But if they were just listening to a talk that was then going to be edited down and put out as a podcast episode, that's not something that people particularly want to pay the money for online. Like in person, I think it'd be very different, because then you're there for the experience and that's like a party. But online is not a party. Nobody's having a party, no matter what they might be saying about Zoom, is not a party.
Yeah.
So that's what we needed. We needed a real interactive element to the online live episode. And so we worked out what that would mean. And so we're going to do like breakout rooms where people are going to be working in groups to work out how their voices, what different industries their voices are suitable for. They're going to be reading scripts to each other, loads of peer-based feedback. And then we realized that what we had is this guy who was doing a talk that didn't want to do directing but would be happy to judge a competition. And so that's what it turned into. So workshoppy niceness, and then back into the main room to compete against each other and what we have to give away. Ah, water bottles, brilliant.
That's so awesome. So we're getting close to the end of our time here, and we'll wrap up with how people can find you and you know, interact with you as well. But what would you say to wrap up is kind of the biggest thing that you and Nick have done to move your podcast forward in growth or monetization?
So with monetization, the biggest thing that we've done is worked out how we wanted to do it and not waste any time trying to make a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there. We focused on sponsorship and creating great relationships with our sponsors and making great sponsor content that people wouldn't want to just skip over, and using it as an opportunity to show off our skills as voiceovers and just generally making sure that everything that we did, we meant. So no inauthenticity of any kind, not saying, oh, you should use this product because they're paying us to say that. Oh, you should use this product, in fact, because actually it's brilliant. And here is a funny way we're going to tell you all about it. So holding on to our sense of truth and authenticity and all those lovely things. And at the same time, knowing our worth in terms of sponsorship. And as far as progressing the podcast is concerned, I actually think that that's down to always holding on to what our vision for the podcast is, because there are lots of people, once you start making a podcast that within a particular sector is making some sort of headway or people are aware of, people get in touch to say, hey, I'd love to be on your podcast. And 100% of the time, those people are selling something. And that might be something that you're happy to bring in. But at the same time, if your vision for your podcast is, I'm going to be providing, just as an example, because this is mine, I'm going to be providing really funny, entertaining, in-depth programming, essentially, to make the podcast that I would like to listen to as a working voiceover, then somebody who contacts you because they are also a voiceover and maybe they've got a thing that they'd like to promote, that's not valid content for that vision. So as far as progressing the podcast is concerned, I think it's just staying on track, knowing what you want, sticking to it, and not just being like, oh god, I've got to put another podcast out this week, I'll just make it with that guy.
No, that's a good point there. And with my Science of Sports Recovery podcast, I get that a lot, where somebody has some sort of product that they want to push. But but anyways, thanks so much, Leah, for being on the podcast.
You're welcome.
The vosocial.com is where you can find out more about her podcast, what she's doing. Is there anywhere else that you want to point people, Leah?
Yeah, so I mentioned I'm not very Instagrammy, but I am very Twittery. So at the vosocial is our Twitter handle. And if you'd like to contact me directly, then I have a website, which is leahmarks.co.uk, or I'm on Twitter as @Leah_etc. I think that's it. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, thanks, Leah, for being on. It's great having you.
Great to be here.
Do you want your audio quality to stand out from the crowd? The secret sauce comes down to the mastering process. Mastering your audio can make your podcast stand out and be easy on the ears, but it can also be oftentimes confusing and time consuming. But it doesn't have to be. I use a tool called Remaster Media to make the mastering process quick and easy. And you can hear the difference. So right now I am talking without any mastering to my track. But here is what I sound with the remastered plugin. Again, without remastering right now, they have multiple profiles to choose from. So no matter the voice or music mix, you can find something that makes you proud of your audio. Now again, I'm back on remastered. So I encourage you to check them out and see the difference between how you sound with or without them. They have a plugin for your current editing software or a web application for those who want to try before they buy.